Well, if you take your Bibles to two passages of Scripture today, Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6, and we are going to continue to talk about the elements of prayer, and this is a good one. Obviously, they're all good, right? But this is one that we probably need, if you will, more than any of the others that we've talked about as far as our personal need. You say, what about our daily bread? We need that. Well, sure you do. But this one, as far as a spiritual health and if you will, prosperity in life, if we want to be successful, we've got to get this particular element correct and right in our lives. And we'll explain as we go along here in the message. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, today we're going to read all in unison. We'll read all together. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 in Luke chapter 11. And then we're going to read verses 9 through 13 in Matthew chapter 6. Okay, so we'll start in Luke 11. Luke 11 in verses 1 through 4, and we'll read these all together, and let's start in verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now over to Matthew chapter 6, and we will begin all together in verse 9 and read down through verse 13. Let's begin in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as we continue to talk about this thing of prayer, I do hope that you understand that in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6, I went ahead and we read both of these passages of Scripture today to emphasize. And by the way, I hope you're following along as we look at Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6. These are the two accounts that we have of this model prayer that were given in Scripture by the Lord. He says here in both cases, in Luke chapter 11 in verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Over in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 12, the Lord's recorded to have said, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay? Now, I want you to understand, this is not a contradiction in Scripture. All right? It's not. Let me ask you a question. Who was Matthew? What? Yeah. So, do you suppose that he kind of understands this thing of debts and debtors? So, it's very appropriate that it comes from his mouth that way. All right? Now, Luke, as his record shows, you understand that as far as we know, perhaps Luke wasn't even there. All right? Now, maybe he was as a bystander. There's a lot of suppositions on who this guy Luke was. But we know he was a physician. He was a doctor. But he records it as, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Okay? So I want you to think about this whole thing of sin. And I want you to think of a verse in Scripture. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Right? When we sin, we are in debt to God. You understand that, right? And if you will, if someone sins against you, they are, if you will, in debt to you. There's something that, there's a payment that has to transpire. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. All right? So if we will think of it in that fashion, we can understand what the Lord is trying to say. He says here, forgive us and forgive us our sins. And in Matthew chapter 6, he says, and forgive us our debts. The first thing that we have to understand and come to the realization is that we are accountable to God. And whether we are saved and have had our sins paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, which we're going to talk about, is part of things, or we have not yet been saved and need to be saved, you understand that both of those are accountable to God. We're accountable to God before salvation to be saved, and we're accountable to God after salvation for fellowship. Do you understand that? But in both cases, when we pray, forgive us our sins, we have to understand that we are accountable to God. So if we back up and we put this into the list of things, as far as the elements of prayer, we go to God, our Father, which art in heaven. We put God on his throne, if you will. We recognize his authority. We recognize his position. We then say, hallowed be thy name. God, I reverence you. God, I love you. God, I am in subjection to you. You are hallowed. You are revered. You are adored. You are loved. You are set apart. You are God. I am the servant. Thy kingdom come. God, I don't have my own desires. I have your desires. I'm a servant. You're the king. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. God, I don't have a will. I want to fulfill your will. Your mind is my mind. Your desires are my desires. Your will is my will. I want to accomplish whatever it is you want. So you see the attitude, right? And then we talked about last week when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's not talking about fulfilling everything that we want after the lusts of the flesh. But rather, it's God supplying for us and our reliance on him. God, we need you to supply for us so that we can be for you what you need us to be. And along the same lines now, we get to another element, which is simply forgive us. Forgive us. God, we're going to fall short. God, we're going to sin against you. God, we're going to have a difficulty because we are feeble. We are fleshly. We have a sin problem. Let me tell you something. Just because you get saved doesn't mean your sin problem goes away. The Apostle Paul tells us that we battle the flesh all of our lives. Well, let me ask the folks that are maybe age 60 and older, okay? That applies to a few of you in here, okay? Let me ask you a question. Once you reach the age of 60 or 70, or maybe even 80, or some of you have reached the age of 90, does it get easier not to sin? No. It doesn't, does it? Why is that? Because these older folks aren't holy and closer to God? No, that's not true. What is it then? It's this old flesh. You know what it loves? It loves to sin. You know what it loves? It loves to conform to this world. Why? Because that's where it's comfortable. How many of you understand we kind of rest back in being comfortable, right? We're like electrons. We follow the path of a least resistance. That's what we do. Why? That's our nature. And guess what we have to crucify? the flesh, that old nature. So think about this. I'm trying to lay out the proper mindset of prayer. It's all about God. So as we're before Him and we've just asked Him to be our supplier, to be the one that we look to for sustenance and for watch care and for provision and for everything we need, we then say, forgive us. Now, this thing of forgiveness for us comes in two parts. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 5. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Let me just say right there, you understand that as they preached the gospel and they convicted those Pharisees of their sin, they could have come to Christ. And if you will, they should have come to Christ. Because that's the proper response. When we're convicted of our sin, we realize and we humble ourselves before a holy God and say, forgive us. You see, folks, in order to be saved, in order to become one of God's children, there has to be a time in your life that you've realized the wretched man or woman that you are, and you need to come to Jesus Christ and say, forgive us. Forgive me, for I have sinned against you. You understand that the Bible gives us an example of this particular idea by the way of a parable. And in Luke chapter 15, the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Now, please understand, this particular verse is talking about restoration of fellowship. But the idea is true, that as a lost person, we've got to come to the realization that we are accountable to God. We have to come to our senses, if you will. Because the devil wants to keep us blinded in sin. He doesn't want us to realize that we're lost. He doesn't want us to realize that we need salvation. He wants us to stay in darkness, but we've got to come to the fact and to the realization that we need Christ. And we turn from our sin and we trust Christ as our Savior. There has to be a forgive me time where you come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I've sinned against you and I need salvation. You can't just get salvation by osmosis, by absorbing stuff. You know, well, hey, if I go to church long enough, I'll become a Christian. No, it doesn't work that way. Oh, if I read the Bible enough, I'll become a Christian. Not necessarily, although the Word of God does not return void. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it's still a choice. Like the thief on the cross, we have to choose to come to God and admit that I am accountable to God. And I, a wicked sinner, need salvation. That's the first thing. Then there's the fact that we, as God's children, once we are born again, we are still sinners. We're just saved sinners. And now, as a servant of God, when I come before God, I still need to acknowledge His authority. I still need to acknowledge that I still, and maybe even more so, as a son and as a servant, I'm accountable to God. You understand that upon salvation, all of our sin is cared for. Past, present, and future. But the Bible's very clear that to maintain a right relationship with God, we need to come to Him with our sin. Think about this. In your life, and I know this in my life, there were times where as a son, I kept things from my parents. None of you ever did that, did you? But you know what? That caused in me a wrong relationship with my parents. And many times, there were things that they didn't even know about. But it threw up a wall of division between me and my parents because of my sin. And sometimes they did know about them. My kids don't really understand the full aspect of this. And maybe some of your kids don't either. But there are a lot of things that I know about that I haven't called them out on yet. Because I'm just biding my time. I'm waiting for that perfect opportunity. Parents, have you ever done that? Amen. And you know what? There's good reason for that, isn't there? Absolutely. So, you understand that, okay, I have a relationship with God, right? And by the way, God's a bit different than we are as parents, earthly parents here, right, in this world. But God knows already our sin, but He wants us to come to Him with it. He wants us to say, God, I'm accountable to you. See, it's a mindset. Even though God already knows, just as much as God knows about the daily bread that we need and daily things that we need, He still wants us to come to Him and say, God, I'm looking to you as my provider. So in this particular fashion, I'm looking to God as my restorer. He's the one that cleanses me. He's the one that makes me whole. And I need to come to Him and ask for forgiveness. This is what God wants in a relationship with us, His people. Listen to some of the examples in Scripture. Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. This is a Psalm of David. Hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for thee, Lord, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. You understand, God wants to cleanse us. God wants to forgive us. He wants to restore us, but he wants us to come to him. How many of you as a child or maybe even as a parent, but you were just waiting for, as a parent, if you will, you were waiting for the child to come to you. You know, as a dad, I can pretty much force my children to do what I want them to do. Give you just a simple for instance. When one child offends another child, I look at the first child, I say, tell them you're sorry. Right? How many of you parents have done that? Right? Tell them you're sorry. And they will, most of the time, obediently go to that other child or that other person and say, I'm sorry. Now, do they always mean that? No, not always. Hopefully they do most of the time, right? But how many of you have witnessed this where the one goes to the other and says, I'm sorry? Are they sorry? Not a chance. Okay? And so what do we as parents do? No. Say you're sorry like you mean it. Right? I'm sorry. No. Try again. Okay? Come on, parents. Anybody ever been through that? Yeah, we have. But you know what's better than that? What's better than that is when that child, that offending child, realizes what they've done. And they go to the other and they really are sorry. That's what's better. And so here we have the mindset. I am a sinner. I sin. And I'm accountable to God. And when I go to God and say, God, forgive me. Now I'm serious about restoration. Now I'm serious about cleansing. Oh, God's willing, folks, to restore. God's willing to cleanse. God wants to, and He's going to. Listen to me. He is going to. But He wants us to be in that right position. That's why this phrase is given in this model prayer. Forgive us. Restore us. Make us right with you, O God. God, please. I'm accountable to you. I'm coming before you. Even though you already know, you already are aware, but I am now aware. I am making it right. I am in correct position in line with you. And that is what we need for a proper relationship with God. Think of probably one of the most thought of sins in the Bible. A king named David and a lady named Bathsheba. Right? Everybody knows that Bible story. But I want you to listen to David's attitude in Psalm 51. Nathan the prophet had already come and he'd already given the example of the rich man, right? Taking that which belonged to the poor man. And David cried out that this man should be punished, right? And then Nathan said, "Thou art the man." This is David's prayer after this exposure. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Now I want you to listen to David's attitude as he goes through this time. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Listen, I love this part. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You understand the attitude that David had here? Let me ask you a question. In your opinion, was he sorry? I believe so. Did he realize that what he had done had caused a separation and a division between him and his God? Absolutely. And folks, that's the whole idea of this element of prayer. We need to understand that our sin is a dividing line. It keeps us from fellowship with God. It keeps us from the joy of our salvation. It keeps us from serving God. Hey, David even said, after you cleanse me, then I can teach the transgressors. Then I can be a testimony to the sinners, and I can bring them to you. You wonder why you're not leading anybody to Christ or being a good soul winner or being a good testimony? Maybe it's because of your sin before God. You understand that our sin stops us from being able to be a good servant of the Lord. You've heard that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? You ever wonder why the local church struggles? Maybe it's because of you. Maybe it's because you don't have a forgive us mentality. You say, well, you know what? I'm good. I'm not as bad as the others. Right? We think that, don't we, sometimes? Well, I'm not bad as brother so-and-so. I'm not as bad as sister so-and-so. To compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. It's foolish. And what this model prayer does for us is it puts the blinders on and it allows us to focus, if we will, in our closet before God alone. It's me and it's him. It's not sister so-and-so and it's not brother so-and-so and it's not this person or that person. It is between me and God. I'm coming before God. I'm worshiping God. I'm giving God his position, his reverence, what's due to him. I'm asking him to supply for me. I'm asking him to forgive me. It hones us in on our relationship with the Almighty. Do you want to have a closer relationship with God? Are you tired of not having a relationship with God? Remember, I referenced the prodigal son, right? He had all his fun. He blew all his wealth in riotous living. And the Bible says when he was in that pig pen and he would feign to fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, he says he came to himself. Have you come to yourself and realized I'm not that great? I'm not as good as I thought I was. I am a sinner before a holy God. Folks, you understand, we're not as righteous as we think we are. I have to remind myself of that all the time. Because in my flesh, I think I'm okay. And the devil, he wants to try to sit on my shoulder and say, you're okay. You're better than 99.9% of the rest of the world. You're a good guy. Come on now, right? Doesn't he try to tell us that? You don't need to ask God for forgiveness. You're good. Oh no. I need to ask God for forgiveness. I need to maintain a right relationship with God all the time. Can I tell you something? How many of you, even in I don't know when you got up, let's say you got up 6 hours ago, if you did, okay? How many of you in the last 6 hours have had a bad thought? I'll raise all my appendages. Why do we do it? Because we're human beings. How many of you maybe have been tempted to do something you shouldn't do? Yeah. How many of you succumbed to that temptation? Perhaps all of us in the last 6 hours, right? We need forgiveness. And we need to ask God for it. Remember the passage of Scripture in 1 John? This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, I want you to understand the gravity of this statement. This is such a scathing statement. That's a good word, by the way. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we say, God and I, we're good. He's the master, I'm the servant. Yeah, John says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's tough. That is rough. Then he says this, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Folks, that's very potent, isn't it? That's very pointed. We have to understand that in this model prayer, for us to say, forgive us, is critical. Now, the second part of this element is not only for us to make sure, first of all, that we're born again, right? And secondly, that we're in right fellowship with God. That's the two parts of the forgive us that we need to be aware of. This other part, he says both in chapter 11 of Luke and chapter 6 of Matthew, he says this, I lost my spot, but I'll get it here back in a minute. There it is. For we also forgive, this is what Luke says, everyone that is indebted to us. Can I ask you a question? Is that easy or hard? Now, for some things, it may be easy, right? There are some things we can very easily forgive, correct? But would somebody at least acknowledge with me that there are some things that are very difficult to forgive? So, can anyone, we'll open this up for just a tiny little debate here. Can anyone show me in the scripture where it says that some sins shouldn't be forgiven? Or as this says, forgive most of the people that are indebted to you. Does it lead us to believe that at all? I don't think so. Last I checked, everyone is what? Every one. Does that mean the really hard ones too? And the really easy ones? It does. Last I checked, everyone is everyone. In Matthew, he makes this statement in verse 12. He says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Of course, verse 13 is the closing element and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then in verse 14, Jesus goes on and he says this. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that's a very curious statement, is it not? So, are you saying to me that if I come to God and I have aught against a brother, that if I ask God for forgiveness, he's not going to let me be right with him until I'm right with my brother? Is that what this is saying? Absolutely. 110% yes. By the way, do you understand that Jesus gave us so many examples of this in his preaching and teaching in the New Testament? Remember when Jesus told them that, hey, if you come to give your offerings and you have aught against your brother, he said, go be right with your brother and then come give your offering. Everybody understand that? Is this important? It is. Remember this parable. If you like to go turn to Matthew chapter 18, we're not going to be able to go through all of this, but this contains the whole philosophy of this. This is why in these two passages of scripture, when the disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray, this is included, forgive us as we forgive them. As we, this is connected together. Look at Matthew 18, look at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And all those that have brothers said, amen. And I forgive him till seven times. Hey, those of you that are a brother or have brothers, how many have exceeded the seven times? Yeah. Oh boy. You said mine exceeded the 70 times seven, Pastor. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And by the way, that's not a new limit. Okay? That's an illustration. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Folks, that's a lot of cash. Lot. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave the debt. By the way, forgive us, right? Yeah, he is inclined to do so. But listen to the rest of the story. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is, by the way, a couple of dollars. So if you'd like to equate it, $1 million debt compared to a $1 debt. Is there even any comparison, folks? And by the way, those that commit sins against you, is it any comparison to what you have done to God? No. No, not at all. Moving along, he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. By the way, have we heard that before? We just did, didn't we? And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, I believe this teaching of the Lord is very clear. How can we even pretend to come before God and utter the words, forgive me, when we won't forgive them? How is that possible? We all know Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible tells us, but ye have not so learned Christ. This is verse 20. We haven't learned this. This mentality of asking God to forgive us and not forgiving others. This doesn't come from Christ. He said we've learned something different. He says in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and he gives us the example or the reason why. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And that's why in the model prayer it says, forgive us as we forgive. These things go together. These things are what they need to be in our lives. We've got to understand that this element of prayer is critical with our relationship. Because if we come here and we say, God, forgive us, but we're harboring bitterness and wrath and anger and malice toward our brother, God's going to say, no. No, I can't. It's impossible for me to do this. Why? Because we won't forgive. And we can't be right with God if we're not right here. So you got to understand that we, because God has forgiven us, we should realize, hey, I need to forgive here. As we come before God and we bring our gifts, if you will, to Him, and if we have aught against our brother, that very act, that very wording of saying, God, forgive me, should affect me to my heart to stir me, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me, to get up and say, God, hold on just a minute. I've got something to take care of, and I go get it right with that brother, and then come back to God and say, God, now we can do business. That's how it ought to affect us. And that's what this element of prayer is all about. It's been said that forgiveness is not for the offender, but for the offended. When I go and forgive someone else of what they did to me, it's for me, not for them. Because what does it do? It gets my heart right with God so that I can be forgiven by God and get right. But if I harbor that bitterness, if I harbor that hatred toward my brother, how can I be right with God? How could I expect Him to have mercy and grace upon me if I won't have mercy and grace upon those? And you say, but Pastor, you don't know what they've done. You're right. I don't know what they've done. But the Bible is very clear. It doesn't matter what they've done. God forgave you no matter what you've done. Because that's the example He's provided for us. And forgiveness is for us. Forgiveness gets our heart right with God, so that we can be in right relationship and in fellowship with God. Remember Jesus on the cross? They crucified him unjustly. He looked up to heaven and said, "Father, forgive them." They were killing him. They were taking away his life, his physical life. These soldiers had just been a part of the unjust beating of our Savior. And he said, "Father, forgive them." If Christ can do that, then why can't we forgive someone? By the way, even though forgiveness is for us, it does affect the offender. Because they'll say, "I did such a terrible thing to them, how could they forgive me?" And they'll see your God working in your life. And they'll have a reason to ask you of the hope that's within you, because you're different. Because most people wouldn't do that. Most people wouldn't forgive. And what a testimony that is. You see, this thing of prayer is so important for our relationship with God that we've got to understand it. We've got to be able to come and say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." That's how it needs to be for us to be in fellowship with him.